Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. You have made it. You have made it. You have made it. It is Friday. The weekend is almost upon us, January 10th, 2020, and boy, oh boy, do we've got a great show in store for you all to close out the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports. Thank you so much for tuning in on WKAR AM 870. You may be tuned in on our FM frequency, which is 105.1 FM. Maybe listening to the podcast version, courtesy of WKAR.org, or watching the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. However you're tuned in, we love you. Thank you. On today's show, we will recap what happened last night, a late tip time of 9 p.m. as the Michigan State men's basketball team was able to find a win, pulling away in the second half against the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Not a bad team. Minnesota, looking at what they were able to do against the Spartans last night, I believe that's a team that is going to pull off, an upset or two throughout this men's college basketball season. But they fought hard, but in the end, Michigan State pulled away a double-digit victory for the Spartans, who still remain as the lone undefeated team in the Big Ten Conference. We will recap it all in just a moment. Also, we will welcome live to the studio football royalty, Rick Goslin. You guys know that name very, very well. I mean, Rick has been an NFL coverage veteran for over 45 years. He's an NFL Hall of Fame voter, former Dallas Morning News Cowboys sports writer. How about the Cowboys? Also even covered hockey in New York and Detroit. Rick is going to join us live in studio. He'll tell you why he's in town. He was actually at last night's MSU men's basketball game, his first basketball game for the Spartans at the Breslin Center. And, of course, we'll talk a lot of NFL football with him as he will help preview the weekend that will be in the NFL playoffs. So you don't want to miss that interview. And then on the back end of the show, we will have Reflection Friday for you guys, where we will reflect on some of the biggest stories that we have chatted about here on WKAR's Current Sports. Maybe get to a few stories that we did not get a chance to highlight. Personally, I do want to comment on the whole Kendrick Perkins and Kevin Durant Twitter beef that went down last night that has everybody talking. Fun stuff. All right, so a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to dial if you would like to be a part of today's Current Sports show. If you want to weigh in, as I mentioned, the facebook.com/WKAR live stream, you can weigh in right below that live stream and comment below the video, and you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Also, tweet the show at WKAR News. So a lot to get to. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, we start here, of course, with last night's Michigan State men's basketball win over Minnesota. That was a 74-58 final, pushing the Spartans' record to 13-3, remaining undefeated in the Big Ten Conference, as the Spartans will now prepare for a noon tip time against the Purdue Boilermakers, who fell in extra time last night at the hands of Juwan Howard and the Michigan Wolverines. But that will be a noon tip time on Sunday, as the Spartans now hit the road to take on the Boilermakers. And, you know, four out of the five games have been at home to start the Big Ten slate for the Michigan State men's basketball team. But quite the performance by players, and, you know, usual suspects, I should say, like Xavier Tillman, who was absolutely awesome. He actually got the party started for Michigan State when it seemed like Michigan State was really searching for offense, and Cassius Winston seemed to be a bit hemmed up and not having his best performance, at least in that first half. But, you know, Cassius did eventually explode for 27 points, leading the team in scoring. But Tillman, he notched his second straight double-dub of the year, scoring 19 points and snagging a career-high 16 rebounds. So the Spartans also have now won 17 of the last 18 meetings at home. So we'll see what they can do now hitting the road, which is very, very tough to win on if you're talking about the Big Ten Conference. All right, and as I mentioned, the Michigan men's basketball team, they won against Purdue at home. That was an 84-78 final. It's a game that actually went to not one overtime, but two overtimes. And a lot of people are crediting Juwan Howard for making the move of benching Brandon Johns in favor of Eli Brooks and going with a lineup that included three guards. They went small in that game, and it really frustrated Purdue en route to, of course, that 84-78 final. Travion Williams, he had 36 for Purdue. Xavier Simpson, he had 22, pacing Michigan. So a big win for the Michigan Wolverines there. Okay, the Michigan women's basketball team was also in action last night on the road at Penn State. Sophomore forward Kayla Bellis scored a career-high 19 points. The Ithaca product, she was great last night, but the Michigan State women's basketball team ended up falling to Penn State 86-73 in University Park, Pennsylvania last night. Michigan State now falls to 8-7 overall, 1-3 in Big Ten play, while Penn State improves to 7-8 overall, 1-3 in the Big Ten Conference. Now, the Spartans had four players in double figures, led by Bellis's 19. The sophomore was 8 of 11. Talk about efficient from the field, and added a team-high 8 rebounds. Freshman guard Maura Joyner added another career high with 15 points, and senior guard, the local product from East Lansing High School, Taryn McCutcheon, scored 14 points. Sophomore guard Nia Clouden added 11 points and a team-high 7 assists. So a tough loss for Susie Merchant and her team. Again, falling to 8-7 overall, two games below 500 at 1-3 in the Big Ten Conference. Okay, today is the day. Attorneys for former Michigan State University football staffer Curtis Blackwell will question head football coach Mark D'Antonio today in a wrongful termination lawsuit filed against him and other university officials. I've been keeping an ear close to Twitter. I have not seen any updates because I believe this deposition is closed. I could be wrong, but I haven't seen any updates as to any specifics of how that questioning is going. But attorneys for Blackwell, the former director of college advancement and performance / camp director for the football program, can question D'Antonio for up to 7 hours during an under oath deposition at the federal courthouse in Grand Rapids. Blackwell left Michigan State in May of 2017 after D'Antonio let his contract expire. Blackwell filed a federal lawsuit in November of 2018 against Coach D, former MSU president Luana Simon, former athletic director Mark Hollis, and two members of the Michigan State University Police Department. Detectives Chad Davis and Sam Miller are those detectives. Curtis Blackwell argues that he was wrongfully arrested and accused of covering up a sexual assault report against three former football players.
Al, let's be honest here. Is there anything in life that sounds worse than a seven-hour deposition?
My goodness, right? I mean, I can only imagine what that's like for Coach D today, just answering every question under the sun. 7 hours? I mean, there's got to be some breaks in there, right?
Yeah, no, there have to be, but I mean, still.
If you have breaks, does that pause the time?
Yeah, exactly. Back? No, that the breaks don't count as the 7 hours. No, he's got to answer questions for 7 hours.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But I haven't seen any updates of this deposition on Twitter, Jack. But if any come through, we'll be sure to pass that along if something breaks this hour. So, all right, Michigan football's Tre Wilson. He will finish his college career elsewhere. The running back announced his decision to grad transfer via Twitter yesterday afternoon, saying, quote, "I appreciate everything the University of Michigan has done for me these past 4 years. I will graduate in the spring and will transfer to finish my last year of college football." So, Tre Wilson will no longer be rocking the maize and blue. "I am very excited that finally this fight is taking place as Flint's favorite daughter, Clarissa Shields, will try for a third time to win a world title in three different divisions." Now, the first bout against, Ivana Habazin was scratched, if you remember, because Shields injured her knee in training. The second attempt, wacky even for the world of boxing weigh-ins, went off the rails as Habazin's trainer was struck by Shields' brother and was hospitalized the night before the bout, so the fight was postponed. That second rescheduling was supposed to happen in Flint. Now, the fight has been moved to Atlantic City, New Jersey, as Shields and Habazin have kept the week leading up to today's 154-pound fight free of drama, let's hope, right? Or any other distractions that could cancel the bout yet again. And I can't lie, I was a bit annoyed as to what happened with that just really troubling situation concerning Habazin's trainer getting soccer punched by the brother of Shields, and he is still actually hospitalized, so he won't even be in the corner for Habazin tonight. We'll see what happens, though. A lot of people are touting this as the biggest challenge of Shields' career thus far, so I'll be glued to my television watching that tonight. The Detroit Pistons fell to the lowly Cleveland Cavaliers in overtime yesterday, 115-112. As the Pistons now fall to 14-25, and the Cleveland Cavaliers improve to 11-27. We kind of talked about that game yesterday, not really due to previewing that matchup, but due to the fact that John Beilein kind of stuck his foot in his mouth, referring to his players as thugs, but he meant slugs. Yeah, that was the big rant I went on yesterday. So if you missed that, go to WKAR.org and catch yesterday's current sports later on this afternoon, okay? All right, the Detroit Red Wings are in action tonight. They will play host to the Ottawa Senators at 7:30 p.m. That's when that puck drop will happen. The Wings are 11-30-3 on the season. The Senators enter this matchup at 16-22-5. And man, oh man, I cannot wait for this weekend's NFL playoff slate. And then there were eight. The Minnesota Vikings take on the San Francisco 49ers to open up things tomorrow. The night game will be the Tennessee Titans against the Baltimore Ravens. That should be a fun game as well. And then Sunday's game one will be the Houston Texans taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. And then the late slate will be the Seattle Seahawks taking on the Green Bay Packers. The lines for that game, let's see here. The 49ers are favored in that first game.
Yep,
right,
given 7 points. All the home teams are favored.
All the home teams are favored. Wow, okay. So the 49ers, they're favored at 7. The Ravens are favored at 9.5. The Chiefs are favored at 9.5. And the Packers are favored at 4.5. So You know, I think there's going to be some really close games, Jack.
You think so?
I think so.
Which ones?
The ones that I think have the potential to be blowouts, of course, are the 9 in a hook games with the Ravens and the Chiefs. But the Texans, again, the Texans, I think all these games are going to be close, maybe with the exception of the Titans and the Ravens game. I don't know. Something about these Minnesota Vikings this season, Jack, and the way they've been playing, and there's something about the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson, just always finding a way. I believe they're going to push the Chiefs and the Seahawks and Packers. That's going to be a fun one between Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers.
No doubt. You know what the problem is for me with the Houston Texans and Chiefs game is with Deshaun Watson, he needs to do it for a full game. You know, we saw him right. Do it for probably the last 22, 23 minutes of the game against the Buffalo Bills. And that was enough for them to advance to the divisional round of the playoffs. But you know Patrick Mahomes is going to be awesome, and Deshaun Watson needs to play a full 60 and be awesome in that game as well. And just think about this. It has been 3 weeks since we NFL fans have gotten to watch Lamar Jackson play. It's just way too long.
Far too long.
It's way too long.
Far too long. I mean, he's the most exciting player in all of football right now, arguably in all of sports right now. So, really looking forward to seeing Lamar Jackson, as you just stated, Jack, back on the football field tomorrow evening. So, and again, like you said, I agree. If you're Deshaun Watson and you're going against the Chiefs aren't a team that you can treat your offense like a light switch where you just think you can just turn it on all of a sudden in the fourth quarter and come back and win the game. No, you need to play a full game against the Chiefs. So, going to be a fun weekend. Again, we'll talk more about this weekend's NFL slate with Rick Goslin, who is an NFL vet, an NFL Hall of Fame writer. Not many people can say that, right? He is in the writer's wing of the NFL Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I should say. Pretty amazing stuff. So Rick Goslin will be joining us live in studio around 1:30-ish, so a little over 10 minutes from now. All right? But that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Live stream is right there. Comment below that video to let your voice be heard as well. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. What a game it was last night inside of the Breslin Center as the Michigan State men's basketball team was able to find a way in that second half to pull away and beat Minnesota convincingly, a 74-58 win for the Spartans, who remain as the only Big Ten team that is still undefeated. How about that? You know what? Before I dive into a few specifics here with engineer of today's Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, Jack Kerwin, who was a one-man band last night for us here at WKAR, shooting the game, shooting the press conference, even did a stand-up. Before we dive into the specifics of what we saw, Jack, let's go to our phone lines right now. We do have Mike from Saginaw who wants to get in a quick call. On line one, Mike, what's up, my man?
Hey, thanks again for taking my call. What I got to ask you now, MSU is winning all these games at home now. When they get to the road, that's going to be a big challenge. I know because it's like all the home teams are winning in the Big Ten right now, and I very seldom see road teams are winning. So what's your take on that?
That's very true, Mike. You know, that's one of the points that I have today is that, you know, This MSU team is playing some of the best basketball in the nation right now. Without a doubt, they are playing the best basketball in the Big Ten Conference. But just how good is this team? Well, only the road will tell us. Simple as that.
Okay.
Because being at home, being in that environment, you already have talent off the charts. And then you combine that with the ruckus atmosphere that is the Breslin Center and the Izzone. When you take all that away and you're on the road, you got to find other ways to get that energy. And we'll see how Michigan State deals with that going into a pretty ruckus environment at Purdue. They are always hyped up and wild out at Purdue. So we'll see how Michigan State handles this road challenge. I believe they play three of the next four games on the road, if I'm not mistaken, Jack. So, yeah.
Here's what I want to ask you, too. What do you think about, we in the Eastern time zone, why are they starting the games at 9 o'clock?
Oh,
do they just have the games at 6 and 8?
Right. Isn't it ridiculous?
I know the students are not there. The students are not on campus yet, right?
No, they are.
Classes?
No, they are.
Oh, they're here.
They are back. They're back from break. They were live and very impactful, if you ask me, according to what I saw on television watching that game last night. And they are back, but I don't get these. I'm not a big fan of the 9 p.m. start times, you know, especially during the week, because you got a lot of people who are fans of these college basketball teams who have jobs in the morning. And it's like, okay, do I sacrifice my sleep and be sleepy tomorrow at work, or do I just DVR the rest of the game and catch the highlights when I wake up and you know, fast forward through the commercials when I get some time, maybe after I get off work? I mean, it makes no sense to me, but it's television. They're trying to cram so many games into one night. Advertisers pay for those slots. I don't like the 9 p.m. start times, though, Mike.
Okay, I heard you're going to be in Detroit Saturday. Is that true?
What's that, Mike?
You're going to be in Detroit.
When is that?
You're going down to Detroit for somebody. I was listening to a radio station that they're going to have you as a guest or something. Say, L. Martin from MSU. MSU going to be down in Detroit or somewhere in the Detroit area or something.
I do got some things on the docket. That's why I couldn't make last night's game. I had a speaking engagement actually in Detroit, and Jack held down the fort. I just got announced as the MC of the president's donor reception that will take place next week. I'm not sure. I do got a few others on the docket. Maybe they are already scheduled for Detroit, and I have not looked at the venue. I got to look that up myself. Sometimes my schedule is so crazy right now, Mike, that I have no idea. Maybe if they said it, I'm there.
All right, man. It was just a station down the dial. That's where I just heard it from, man.
Okay.
So
awesome.
I thought I'd just chime in and just let you know what I still love the Spartans. So
love it.
Basketball, that is.
All right.
So I thought I'd just tell you.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that.
You can continue with the show. Thank you.
Dude, Jack, I'm doing so much right now, man. My head is kind of spinning. So Mike just informed me that one of these events is maybe going to be in Detroit. I'm going to be at hosting or emceeing or being a speaker at. It's nuts right now, dude. I'm barely sleeping these days.
All right. So, well, I mean, just let me know. I got you for any MSU basketball games as long as I'm free for them.
My man, I appreciate that. Yeah. I really appreciate that, brother. But real quick, before we hit our first break, let's just dive into what we saw last night. First off, Xavier Tillman had a great start to that game. You know, at one point, he had more points than Purdue did right off rip. And it was an early double-double for him. I mean, at halftime, Tillman already had a double dub, but the big problem, and you could hear Tom Izzo just go off. Molly McGrath interviewed Tom Izzo right at the half when they're going into the locker room, and Tom actually cut her off because he was fuming from the ears based on how his team played in that first half. And he said, "Look, we didn't play great." And he said, "This is the first time all year that my team has played selfish. We're not passing the ball. We're not looking for other guys." And he went on to say that, "I think a lot of our guys are, quote, reading the press clippings." And, you know, looking at the turnover column for Michigan State at the half, they had 8 turnovers. So there were some positives, though. You know, Julius Marble had a nice steal and tied the game back up on the break. That was a really nice play. You know, I noted a moment here in my notes as I'm driving. I wouldn't recommend this. I was driving back up from Detroit as I'm trying to watch the game when I'm taking notes in my notepad and texting Jack. It was not a safe environment in my car last night. but there was a moment where Cassius Winston had a touch pass. I mean, his vision is off the charts. He had a touch pass from the top of the key down low. I forget what big man it was. It ends up hitting this Spartan player's hands. He fumbles it a bit, and then it somehow drops into the breadbasket of Gabe Brown, who dunked it. But on the broadcast, and Dan Dockage was on the broadcast, Dan wasn't bad last night. You know, I enjoy Dan's analysis from time to time. Dan noted, as Michigan State was trotting back down to play defense, Cassius Winston, you know, and Tom Izzo kind of got into it. You can kind of see it on the broadcast. Tom Izzo said something to Cassius. Bottom line, he did not like the touch pass that Cassius Winston had to whoever that big man was down low. Now, it did end up in 2 points, but that confused me a bit because I thought that wasn't really on the shoulders of Cassius Winston there. It was on the player who fumbled the pass from Cassius. Sometimes when you're dealing with a gifted facilitator like Cassius Winston, you got to have your eyes, your head on the swivel at all times. And if you don't, you can fumble a pass. But that was an interesting exchange. But in that second half, that's when Michigan State was able to really pull away late. But one of the big concerns for me, and I've been saying this throughout much of this Michigan State men's basketball year, is when you don't have Cassius Winston running point guard out on the hardwood, and if Xavier Tillman is struggling to score, who do you turn to? I noted that at the 12-minute mark in that second half, when Michigan State had a lineup of Gabe Brown, Foster Lawyer, Xavier Tillman, Malik Hall, and Mark Rocket Watts, they were just running around kind of just, you know, trying to see who was going to take a shot. You know, and they were great defensively. That was a great defensive lineup. But when Cassius needed a breather and Tom Izzo went with that lineup of Brown, Lawyer, Tillman, Hall, and Watts, there was not a lot of scoring going on. So, again, the question that I'm constantly going to have, especially as Michigan State goes on the road now in this Big Ten slate, where do you go for offense without Winston on the floor? And heck, they didn't even have Aaron Henry on the floor at that moment. So where do you go to offense in moments where you don't have a lot of your big dogs finding the bottom of the line, the nylon? Now, again, Xavier Tillman was great. I have no complaints when it comes to Xavier Tillman. He also had a new career high in rebounds with that performance last night as well. He is an energizer bunny. And I love the story that came out after the Michigan game, when the camera caught Xavier Tillman, he blocks a Michigan player's shot down low, and he absolutely, you can see it on the television, it went viral on Twitter, but Xavier Tillman absolutely reams Gabe Brown for not doing whatever his job was supposed to be on that particular play. But Xavier Tillman is becoming a vocal leader for this team. He is becoming a guy that you can depend on if things aren't going right. He is going to get in you, and I absolutely love that. And he's scoring. I think he's become more versatile down low. He's become a better defender. Actually, Tom Izzo went on the record to say after that game that Xavier Tillman is the best defender on this squad. Very impressive stuff. Now, the man who was a load for Michigan State to handle last night was, of course, Daniel Oturu, who was brilliant in that game. And he is the big reason why I believe Minnesota can come out there and upset many teams this season if they are not in tune to his game. But Daniel Oturu was big. He was blocking shots. He was snagging rebounds. He got a lot of 50-50 balls out there. And when he went out with 5:26 left in that game, you kind of had the feeling that Michigan State was going to pull away. And that's exactly what happened. especially off that Marcus Bingham Jr. putback slam to make it an 11-point game. That's when Michigan State really started to get momentum going. And then Cassius Winston woke up. And you know, he's dealing with this heavy heart. We all know this. And he's still playing so brilliant. That first half was not Cassius-like. I saw that he warmed up. I believe, Jack, correct me if I'm wrong, he warmed up with an Albion shirt on in honor of his late brother. And, you know, he goes out there, and I think maybe that was on his mind in that first half, but in the second half, he got back to who Cassius Winston is, facilitating the basketball and then finding key moments of that game to score. And, man, one of the most dangerous aspects of the game of Cassius Winston this year has been that crossover step-back three. It's amazing. It's unguardable because you have to be in tune that Cassius can maybe beat you off the dribble and find the open man. So you're kind of playing that aspect of his offensive game as well. So you're giving him some room, but if you do, he'll hit the three on you. And that's what he did last night. So amazing performance from Cassius Winston down the stretch of that game, leading to that 74-58 win for the Spartans. But again, the true test will be how Michigan State performs on the road. That's the big question here, Jack. What did you see? You had a front row ticket to that game last night.
No, absolutely. And you know what? This game's been like the other four games so far in the Big Ten Conference where, you know, MSU's two best players, Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman, really shouldered the load for the team. Because, like you said, you know, Xavier had 13 and 12 at halftime. He had a double-double already. I think he had 6 and 5 at the under 16 timeout. So, you know what? He carried the load early when, you know, if you look at the first half, outside of him on the offensive end, nobody really did a whole lot for the Spartans. And then Cassius Winston obviously took over late, and he wound up with, I believe, 27 points. So, you know, he really paced the team in the second half. And you're absolutely right. They travel to Mackey next on Sunday, and that'll be a very interesting test for him just because, you know, Purdue's probably been a little bit down this season, obviously. I mean, they only scored like 37 points when they played Illinois the other day, and, you know, they fell to Michigan again last night. But you're absolutely right. The only team they've played so far on the road has been Northwestern, who's probably the worst team in the Big Ten. So three of these next four games are on the road, and it'll be the best test the Spartans have had so far.
Definitely, without a doubt. All right, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355 9527 is the number to dial if you would like to be, let your voice be heard on the Michigan State men's basketball win over Minnesota last night. Let's hit our first break because when we come back, we'll have a special guest live in studio, famed football sports writer Rick Goslin will join me live here in Studio West to break down a lot. There's a pretty big weekend coming in the NFL. I'm curious to get Rick's thoughts on that and so much more. You are listening to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Friday to you all. The weekend is almost upon us, and it is going to be one fun weekend in the world of pro football. We've got a special guest. For those watching the Facebook live stream right now at facebook.com/WKAR News, you see that there are no longer just one person. There is no longer just one person here in Studio West. We have the pleasure of welcoming now to the show an NFL coverage vet of over 45 years. He's an NFL Hall of Fame voter, former Dallas Morning News Cowboys sports writer. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, so you better believe I'm going to have a Cowboys question for him in just a moment. But he's covered over 30 Super Bowls, also covered hockey in New York and Detroit. He's the Dick McCann Memorial Award winner back in 2004 from the Football
Hall of Fame. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but Rick Goslin, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. How you doing, Rick?
Yeah, it's great to be back on campus. I got out of here in December of 72, and I tried to get back as often as I can, and it's few and far between, but it's good to get back.
What's it like walking this campus, you know, coming back here? Do you get nostalgia?
I don't recognize anything. I mean, there's so much. I mean, I covered hockey when they played in Dem Hall.
Right.
I covered basketball when they played in Jenison. Now you see Munn and you see Breslin, and you see all these new buildings going up, and you see all this building on Grand River going up, and it's almost unrecognizable to me.
It's amazing, isn't it?
But it's still one of the most underrated campuses in America, with the red cedar, and especially in the fall when the leaves are turning. It's great to come back.
It's beautiful, man. And you know, I saw on your Twitter feed last night that you attended your first Michigan State men's basketball game at the Breslin Center.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday. What was that experience like for you? It was a packed house, big game between the Spartans and Minnesota.
Yeah, it was great. We had first row upper deck seats, and those little dugout seats, we had two. And I was with Mike Prezuta, who's a very prominent morning drive guy in Pittsburgh, who's a Spartan grad and a Spartan. Oh, he's Mr. Spartan. He got the tickets, and it was a great seat, great atmosphere. It's the first time I've seen the Izzone, you know, not on television, I should say.
Right.
Full house. It's quite an event. I mean, there's always something going on. They're shooting T-shirts into the crowd, and they got the dance team and the cheerleaders, and
yeah,
it was fun, especially because they won.
That was a fun game. And you know, on a much more somber note, of course, earlier this week we got the news concerning the passing of former Michigan State football head coach George Perlis. And you tweeted out 2 days ago that Perlis actually coached your high school at St. Ambrose in Detroit in the early 1960s and was a, quote, central figure in your book, Goodfellows, The Champions of St. Ambrose. So you and George went back. How will you remember school. George?
Well, George was a character. When I wrote the book, I mean, St. Ambrose was a small Catholic school. There were 200 boys in the school, and they won 3 state titles and 4 city titles in a span of 5 years. And the two coaches went on to win 6 Super Bowl rings.
Wow.
George got 4 of them. Tom Boyster got 2 as the personnel director of the Giants. And when I became the NFL writer in Dallas, and I go around the league, in every year, I always went to the NFC East city. So every year I'd go to the Giants, and every year Tom Boyster and I would have dinner. Mm-hmm. And he would tell me stories about St. Ambrose, and he'd say, you really have to write a book. And then I'd see Perlis in Pittsburgh, and he'd say, yeah, you really got to write a book. So I finally wrote the book. And both George and Tom were great. As a matter of fact, when I knew I was coming up here, I was hoping to call Perlis and go over and see him on Saturday.
Wow.
And then I was in Canton for that Centeno meeting the other day, and I saw where he passed away, and it tore me up that I was this close to maybe seeing him a final time.
Exactly.
And he was one of the all-time greats. He was quite the character. I know him as the defensive line coach of the Steelers, and you know, Joe Green lives by me now, and he and I tell Perlis stories. He was well-loved, well beyond Michigan State. He was a well-loved NFL character as well.
He was. Can you tell us one of your favorite Perlis stories real quick?
Okay. They had his first Goodfellow game. And back in the 60s, the Goodfellow game was a city championship, Catholic League championship versus public league champion.
Yeah.
And I think they were playing Detroit Pershing.
Okay, gotcha.
And George Perlis in St. Ambrose was unbeaten. Just an offensive powerhouse. And George Perlis called the same play the first 15 plays of the game. And the running back came back and said, I'm not going to run it. I'm taking a beat. You have somebody else run it. So I talked to Larry Bielot, and I told him that Perlis said that he ran the play just to settle the kids down. And Bielot says, no. He ran that play 5 times to settle George down. George wasn't going to leave the script. And you know George, if you saw the Lorenzo White 56 carry game, if George got something that's working, he's going to stick to it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. He lived by that, didn't he?
Still the all-time great quote when they asked him about Lorenzo White. George, Lorenzo White, 56 carries. He said, it wasn't heavy and he wasn't tired.
I love that.
And that's a philosophy you got at St. Ambrose. If it's not heavy, he's not tired, keep giving the guy the ball. Same play, play after play, but it was working.
It was working, man. Oh, boy. Yeah, we've been remembering George Perlis throughout much of this week.
Let me give you one more story.
Yeah, please.
They were playing a Super Bowl against Notre Dame. Uh-huh. And Notre Dame was the all-boys school, big rival. And George wanted to fire the team up. So he and Bielot one night, and the locker room was downstairs, the big metal door. they painted the door green. And they said, that's Notre Dame guys. They painted our door green. They're going on and on. And Beal looked at Perla and says, George, you got green paint in your shoes. You better take those shoes off.
So he was trying to make it seem like they did it.
Yeah.
But, dude, you got green paint on your shoes, George. What are you
bad,
talking
bad
about?
Bad luck, George. Bad luck.
That's great stuff. I mean, it's, you know, he was just a Spartan legend. And boy, oh boy, did he love this university, right?
Yeah, I always knew, even when I talked to him in Pittsburgh, when the first chance he got to come back to Michigan State as head coach, he was coming back.
Exactly. You know, definitely.
It just tells you all, when he went to the USFL to become the Philadelphia Stars coach, he was there for a month.
Exactly.
Michigan State opened up. He told the owner, I will walk back to East Lansing, but I'm going to East Lansing.
He's going to East Lansing.
Yeah, and they had to make a buyout, but it was his chance. He was coming back, and he was coming back to stay.
And talking with different people about Perlis and his love for Michigan State and wanting to become the head coach, football coach here in East Lansing, Rick, I know he was really torn up about not getting the job when Muddy Waters got it, right?
Yeah.
He was really torn up about that.
He thought that was his window, and it was a mistake. I mean, George should have – I don't know what they were thinking back then, but George should have gotten that job. And that hurt him. But I knew it wasn't – something that would damage his relationship with the school.
Mm-hmm.
Next chance he got, he was coming back.
Certainly. And he did.
And great memories. That Rose Bowl game, that was a classic.
All right, let's dive into some NFL, Rick.
Yes, sir.
Because this is a very big weekend. Before we talk about the games, I got to ask you, Rick. I'll just ask you straight up. Will Tom Brady be the quarterback of the New England Patriots next season? What do you think is going to happen there?
He wasn't going to leave it. I was hoping he'd retire. Because I remember John Unitas. I remember Peyton Manning lost it overnight. And I think that's what's going to happen with Brady. Tom wasn't the same quarterback. Tom took a beating this year, and he didn't have weapons. They never replaced Gronkowski. They didn't have a deep threat. Lord, they tried. They got Antonio Brown. They had Josh Gordon. They signed Demaryius Thomas. They drafted the Neil Kidd from Arizona State. Try to find that deep guy. It didn't work out. He didn't have receivers. He became just a short dink-and-dunk passer. And that's not the way he wanted to go out. I mean, he's a great quarterback, and having the season end on a pick six, that didn't settle well with Tom. I don't see how he can go anywhere else. I think if he's going to stay, if he's going to play, I think it's got to be in New England. You don't I don't see him going to the Chargers. I heard Tampa mentioned.
Yep.
And Tampa's intriguing, but he's going to go back to Boston. It doesn't serve any purpose for him to go for 1 or 2 years. I remember when Montana went to Kansas City, and he was done. He had a concussion. You know, he took him to the title game, but he had a concussion. It's just not the memory I want from Tom Brady. I do think he winds up playing in New England, but they're going to have to get him some help.
They are.
That
was my biggest gripe. I mean, all he had was Julian Edelman, right?
Right.
I mean, it was just a lot. If he didn't have Edelman, he was – I don't know where he went. You know what I mean?
No.
So we'll see what happens, and it's really tough because you see a lot of the legends in the game. It doesn't always end on a high note, right? You don't always get the Elway-esque goodbye.
You're
right?
Like the Emmitt Smith Arizona Cardinals stint.
Oh, boy. That was a tough one to watch.
He comes back to Dallas and separates his shoulder on a hip by Darren Woodson. That didn't end well. No, it never ends well. And I knew it wouldn't end well for Brady.
Right. Right.
I just hope if he doesn't retire, and it doesn't appear he will, I just hope he goes back to New England. That's how you remember Tom Brady. You don't want to remember him wearing the creamsicle orange of the Buccaneers.
Exactly. Okay? Exactly. Preach on, my brother. Okay. This weekend now, Vikings, 49ers, Titans, Ravens, Texans, Chiefs, Seahawks, Packers. Can you give me a few predictions on what you think is going to happen this weekend, and who is your Super Bowl favorite? Is it like everybody's, the Ravens?
I really like what the Ravens have going. I mean, they made some moves at midseason. They were an okay defense, but they picked up Marcus Peters. They picked up Pico, our Spartan, and that's helped the run defense. That is a complete team. John Harbaugh may be the second best coach in football right now after Belichick. And he appreciates all three aspects of the game, offense, defense, special teams. They're not going to beat themselves. The only thing that can derail them is if Jackson gets hurt, I think. I mean, he's what they did. I thought it was a genius move bringing in Greg Roman because Greg Roman was the offensive coordinator for the Niners when Kaepernick was there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same offense.
Right.
You know, people say, well, Greg Roman's a hot guy, you know, for a head coaching job. No, because unless you got Kaepernick or Jackson, you can't run that offense.
It doesn't work.
But remember Harbaugh. Harbaugh was consistent during the offseason. Say, we're going to this is going to work, and we're going to build this offense around Jackson. People said, no, it's not going to work. You know, they saw him at the end of the year. He wasn't an accurate passer. But when they put him in there and they put him in motion, I mean, his running was 500-yard games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can beat you with his arm. He can beat you with his leg. I mean, he led the league in touchdown pass, and he was throwing 20, 22 times a game. He wasn't throwing 30 and 40 times like Drew Brees.
Exactly.
He led the league in touchdown passes. And they got Mark Ingram,
yep,
who should have been a Spartan.
Right.
Went to Alabama,
became a Heisman Trophy winner.
He should have Heisman. Yeah, they can run the ball. They can pass the ball. They can play defense. They've got Pro Bowl offensive linemen. I think that's the most complete team going right now. I think they'll handle Tennessee pretty good. I think Kansas City lost to Houston during the regular season at home. I don't see him having it again. And I think, you know, Mahomes now is back healthy. He's back in the flow. They're getting a little bit of running game from Damian Williams, and I thought bringing in Spagnuolo has made their defense more competitive.
Yeah.
I like Kansas City and Baltimore in the AFC title game, and that's a game I want to see.
Definitely.
I want to see Mahomes' arm versus Jackson's legs. In the NFC, Green Bay is tough to beat at home. I think Russell Wilson is magical. Mm-hmm. He finds ways to win, but this is a team that ranked in the 20s in both offense and defense. There are holes in that team. They're not the Legion of Boom is long gone.
Mm-hmm.
I think Green Bay. I saw Green Bay coming to Dallas this year with no weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Adams wasn't there. Running back was hurt, and they signed guys. He was throwing the passes, guys who signed the day before the game.
Yeah,
and they. I think they built a 26-0 lead at halftime.
Right.
Rodgers and Wilson, it's going to be an amazing show because those guys do more with less than anybody.
They do.
I like Rodgers. I think he's special. You know, everybody's talking about Drew Brees not being on a 100th anniversary team. I think, in my case, I think Rodgers was the bigger oversight.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the Packers in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Vikings-Niners.
Yeah.
I remember I covered a game out there in, I think it was 89, when the Niners were rolling and the Vikings with Anthony Carter beat them.
Right.
And that, I'm not as sold on Garoppolo as most people.
You're not.
I think their running game is special, mm-hmm, and their defense is special. But watching Minnesota win last week and watching Cousins making the plays he needed to make, I think this is going to be a close game. I think the Vikings can beat them. Will they? Probably not. I mean, mm-hmm, the Niners are the most complete team in the NFC side, and I think when it's all said and done, it's probably Baltimore and Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I mean, San Francisco in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And I think that'll be interesting because that's the rematch of the Super Bowl that the Harbaugh has played in.
Right.
I think that's the way it should work out. But
yeah,
we'll see. I'm anxious to watch the Minnesota game. I want to see if Cousins can do it again.
And that will be the first game to open up the NFL playoff slate this weekend.
And Dalvin Cook, I mean, Dalvin Cook is,
yeah,
a difference maker. And you saw that. That team,
yes,
struggled down the stretch without Cook. But when Cook came back, that's a different team. All of a sudden, the play-action pass game is going.
That is so true.
That's going to be an entertaining game.
All right, you heard it from Rick Goslin, folks. Take it to Vegas, all right? If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, famed football sports writer Rick Goslin is now joining us. Before we get you out of here, Rick, I got to ask about the
Mike McCarthy.
I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to,
okay,
Mike McCarthy. Trust me, because I'm a Cowboys,
okay,
fan. But I want to first talk about the 2020 Pro Football Hall of Fame class, because I know 15 of the 20 members of the 2020 class were selected by that special, the Blue Ribbon panel on,
yep,
Wednesday. And I believe you were a part of,
yep,
that, right?
There's actually two classes. There's the class of 2020, which is the current players, the modern era eligible candidates.
Right,
and
exactly.
And that induction ceremony will be in August.
Those are five, right?
There will be five.
Yeah.
And then there's a centennial class where they got a panel of 25 of us, and they said, go back in 100 years of football and find the guys that we've overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought, we had initial slate. We talked a couple hundred players. We finally got it down to 38, and we were in Canton Wednesday to pick the finalists. And we didn't know how the voting went. We voted the eight coaches down from 8 to 2. We voted the 10 contributors down from 10 to 3. We voted the 20 players down from 20 to 10. and that the top vote getters are the guys they're going to put in. And we left there. We don't know how the vote went. I'll find out with you on Wednesday when they
They announce it on the NFL Network, I believe, next week.
Yeah, America, I'm going to be on the show.
How about that? Yeah. Tune in to check out Rick break
early.
It down.
Early. It's going to they're good morning football. We'll all get up early for that.
Oh, boy.
I do think Alex Karras has a good shot. Long overdue.
And I know, I believe Bill Belichick is a part of that.
Yeah, Belichick.
Well, right? Belichick was there, right?
He was there. This was very – Belichick is one of the game's great historians. Matter of fact, he did a lot of the work. When we looked at players on the final slate, we had players from the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Mm-hmm. Belichick, Ron Wolf, Bill Polian, they did a lot of the legwork on looking at tape of players from the 20s. There wasn't much on the 20s. The 30s, 40s, they looked at the candidates and said, these are the best players.
Wow.
I mean, the history of this game in the Hall of Fame is very important to Belichick.
And
he was, yeah, he was a terrific resource.
Well, I watched, and I'm sure you may have seen this, Rick, the Saban and Belichick documentary that HBO just put out blew my mind. I mean, first off, sitting and listening to these two legends talk about the game is pretty remarkable, but then they go into their history and just their knowledge of the history of the game of football. Yeah. It blew me away watching that on HBO.
Yeah, Bill also was one of the co-hosts for the 100th anniversary team. I don't know if you saw any of those episodes.
I didn't, no.
And he'd go in the telestrator, here's what I like about Sammy Ball. And he was talking an educated opinion on Sammy Ball, who played in the 30s. And he was going, and he handled a lot of those guys, you know, on that team that were pre-modern era.
Gotcha.
I mean, he's, you know, the media, he doesn't have the greatest relationship with the media. The problem is, if you ask Belichick about his team or his players, he's terrible. But if you get him off script talking about the history of the game or defensive philosophy or football theory, he's terrific. He'd go on and on talking football. Just don't ask him about his team.
Just don't ask him about his team, right? Yeah. Okay, five players, modern era players, will get in. Any predictions on that, real quick?
There's a Spartan on the ballot.
There is.
Carl Banks.
I think Banks is on the ballot.
First time in there. It's tough to go in first time, especially when you've been out of the game for a while.
Right.
I think a lot of people think Troy Polamalu is a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm not necessarily in agreement.
Okay.
I think the time has come to put the best running back in football not in, and that's Edgerrin James. I think Isaac Bruce is probably the best wide receiver not in. He's been on the ballot for a number of years. I think he's got a good shot. We've had three offensive linemen, Steve Hutchinson, Alan Faneca, and Tony Boselli that have been there for 3 or 4 years. I wouldn't be surprised if one of the offensive linemen gets in. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of safeties on his belt. Leroy Butler's in there for the first time. John Lynch is back for, I think, the 7th or 8th time. Steve Atwater's been there. And these guys are first-team all-decade safeties.
Right.
And they can't get in. And you got Polamalu there. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's maybe a second safety.
Okay.
But again, the discussions are going to be fun because I think the class is wide open. There is no quarterback. There really is no slam dunk in my eyes. And
right.
I think it'll be an entertaining discussion.
And I believe those five modern players will be announced around the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Like the beginning of February?
Yeah. We do it day before the Super Bowl.
Gotcha.
At the Super Bowl site, we have the discussions, the vote, and then that night on the NFL Network, they announce the candidates for the finalists for that class.
Okay. All right. And final question. I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. Was Mike McCarthy the right move to take over that franchise, Rick?
Okay. I've been around that team for 30 years, and when everybody was talking about Urban Meyer, Lincoln Riley, and Matt Rhule, I said, Jerry's not going to hire a college coach. After the Garrett debacle where they never got to the NFC title game, 10 years, I said, Jerry's going to make a credibility hire. He's going to hire someone with a name that the fan base will embrace.
Mm-hmm.
He needs the fans to get back behind his team. There's only one guy out there in that coaching pool who had a Super Bowl ring, and that guy won his Super Bowl at Jerry World in Dallas. So I thought McCarthy was the logical pick, and when it all came down, he hired Mike McCarthy. I think it was a good hire. I loved some of the people he's putting together on the staff, you know, Jim Thomas Sula's former head coach.
He's keeping Kellen Moore, I read, right?
That concerns me because
okay.
I thought Jerry's going to want some guys on that staff. I thought for McCarthy to have a success, he'd have to hire coaches that are loyal to him and not loyal to the owner.
Right.
I thought he had to clean out the past staff. But if he's going to keep Kellen Moore, and I know Jerry probably wants to keep Chris Richard, there's a couple guys. John Kitna was the quarterback coach. They thought E.L. Prescott. I wouldn't want to saddle McCarthy. I want McCarthy. You got a clean slate. Go get your coaches. Let's see what we can do. Because Jerry's way hasn't worked. It's been a quarter of a century now. It hasn't worked. Let McCarthy do it. And I think Mike's a good coach. I know Mike. I'm going to sit down with him next week when I get back.
Awesome.
He's going to hire a good staff. Getting John Fossil. John Fossil is one of the two or three best special teams coaches in the league, and their special teams were atrocious last year.
Right.
They needed a complete defensive makeover. They don't get takeaways. They get few sacks. Their defensive backfield had more sacks than interceptions last year.
Isn't that incredible? I mean,
it's terrible.
It's like, dude, what is going on? It was so frustrating to watch.
No takeaways. They didn't get any takeaways, and that's
right, no takeaways.
They led the NFL in offense for a reason. Every time they got the ball, they had to drive 75, 80 yards.
Right.
There were no short fields. When you get takeaways, you got 39-yard drives, you got 23-yard drives, you got 42-yard drives. There was never any short fields.
Exactly.
That's why they led the league in offense.
Prescott had in that offense had to go the whole way.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see what they do on defense, because that's going to be the key. They hired Mike Nolan. I was kind of lukewarm on him, but for them to get where they want to go, they got to fix the defense. The offense is fine, and Mike will put some wrinkles in, and they'll be fine again next year. I hope that they do run the football. They made Elliott the highest-paid running back in football.
And McCarthy's not known to run the football. You know, he's never finished in the top 10 in the league when it comes to rushing attempts. But he's never had a horse like Ezekiel Elliott. And you pay him that kind of money, you got to feed the beast.
And he's a guy that the more he carries the ball, the better that team is.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
he's, when he gets 100 yards, when he gets 20 carries and 25 touches, they win.
Right.
They made him a member of the supporting cast last year, and it didn't work.
Well, Rick, it has been a pleasure. I like what I'm hearing about my Cowboys. We'll see what happens next year, though. It has been a pleasure, my man. And continue to enjoy your time here in East Lansing. And for everybody out there listening to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, thank you for tuning in throughout the week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the NFL playoff games. Again, Michigan State will play Purdue on the road this Sunday. We'll see you back here on Monday to talk about it all. Of course, the national championship game in college football is also on Monday night, so we'll be previewing that as well. But have a great weekend and see you Monday. And as always, be easy, people.